an act of snobbery and a fundamental change to who we are as Australians. That's how Labor has characterised the government's proposed changes to citizenship requirements, which are before Parliament. The opposition today announced it does not support the policy, which includes stricter English language requirements and a subscription to Australian values as part of a new citizenship test. Mark Dreyfus is the Shadow Attorney General and joins us from our Parliament House studio. Mark Dreyfus, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Patricia.
So how does changing citizenship requirements alter who we are as Australians?
We're a country which the Prime Minister, Malcolm Turnbull, likes to, and he says it over and over again, we're the most successful multicultural country in the world. And what he doesn't then do is ask, how did we get there? And we got there, Patricia, by talking about our values, by talking about being an inclusive society, by being a welcoming society, by anti-racism campaigns, by a whole range of things that brought us together as a community. We haven't always been like this, but I'm prepared to agree with Malcolm Turnbull that we're a very successful multicultural society. What we've now got is a government that wants to spread division. And there's no other explanation for this bill being brought forward than it's a government that's actually interested in creating division. Why would you set an English test that sets the level at university level English? We already have a test that people have to sit for citizenship. It's in English. And I haven't heard anyone suggesting that the standard needs to be raised to university level.
All right, well, let's get to that test, because I think this has been a really interesting part of this debate. The International English Language Testing System, or IELTS, level 6 would be the requirement described as competent. You say it's too high and that some Australians don't even meet this standard, but when you look at the definition, the test taker has an effective command of the language despite some inaccuracies, inappropriate usage and misunderstandings. So actually, the test allows for an imperfect English speaker. The sort of language around an English language test at university level implies perfect English. It's not, though, is it?
Well, it's university level, and that's clear. And by saying you've got to
inappropriate usage, misunderstandings, that allows for somebody from a non-English speaking background.
I think that everybody in Australia and all of your listeners know very, very many people who've migrated to Australia who speak English as a second or a third or a fourth language and who have contributed massively to our country, who have been excellent citizens of our country. The suggestion that because you don't speak perfect English, you're somehow not fit to be an Australian citizen, it's elitist, it's snobbery, it's out of touch, and it's not the Australia that we are today. I'm at a loss for words. No, I shouldn't say I'm at a loss for words, Patricia. I'm a politician, but so I'm not often at a loss for words. But it is. I'm gobsmacked, put it that way, at the suggestion that we somehow need to raise the bar in terms of the level of English that is required to be an Australian citizen. What citizenship's about is wanting to belong to Australia. What citizenship's about is wanting to contribute. Saying that you are part of the Australian community. That's why the Menzies government wanted to encourage people to become citizens. We've now got a so-called Liberal government which wants to discourage people from becoming citizens, and I find that extraordinary.
Okay, but if you look internationally, we're looking at this proposition, which Labor has now rejected, from increasing the wait from 1 year to 4 years, but it still brings us short of where Germany is. I think it's about 8 years. Canada, it's, what is it, 4 or 5?
Well, I don't want to make international comparisons because we are already a very successful multicultural country. Why should we look to Germany? Why, seriously, no offence to any Germans or the German nation, but why should we look to Germany to work out how to become the most cohesive, best multicultural society that we can be? And I am certain it's not by increasing the time that it takes to become a citizen. There's already a 4-year wait. You've got to be in Australia for 4 years and have qualified as a permanent resident and have been a permanent resident for a year. So that's a 4-year period before you can apply to become a citizen right now. How on earth are we in any sense improving our community by making people wait longer? And I'd ask the same question about the English language test. How are we improving our community in any sense by saying to people who've been in our country for many years, you can't become an Australian citizen because your English isn't good enough?
If you're just tuning in, the Shadow Attorney General Mark Dreyfus is my guest. And if you want to send in your views about Labor's decision to not support the citizenship law changes, 0418 226 576 is the text line. Get your pen and your pencil, your paper, 0418 226 576. You support the government being able to change some of the questions of the citizenship test, though. Do you think this current set of questions needs to be updated?
That's what the law says now. We don't need an act of parliament for the government to change the questions. And the government, I think, has finally owned up to that, although they've wanted to throw into this debate lots of suggestions about what the questions should be, about whether they should be this or that. John Howard had a bit of a play with this idea and changing the questions. We had, I think, for a time, questions about Don Bradman. And it's always up to the government to change the questions, but that's not what this is about. The government's brought forward this legislation to create a political controversy with Labor where there isn't any need for one. They haven't identified any problem, not one, that is going to be solved by this legislation.
Well, the Justice Minister mentioned Man Haron Monis becoming a citizen today in an interview, and they've used him as an example before and said he shouldn't have become a citizen. Would these changes stop him becoming a citizen?
I doubt it. I doubt it because as best as I can recall, his English was at a very high level, and I'd have to check how long he'd been in Australia at the point he became a citizen. But that is just the Justice Minister, who's a pretty foolish minister most of the time. He's showing he's even more foolish now, trying to suggest that there's some national security component to this.
So you're confident there are no national security reasons behind this bill?
The national security advice that the government has pointed to came from a government senator, Senator Ferravanti Wells, who, together with Philip Ruddock, no longer in the parliament, produced a report for the government. As far as we're aware, no advice has been received from security agencies that suggests that these citizenship changes in any way will improve the security of our country. And we certainly haven't received any advice from security agencies to that effect. And when you look at the legislation, you can see that it doesn't have a national security aspect for the simple reason that citizenship is conferred on people who are already here and have been here for several years. So how making it tougher for people who have been in Australia for several years, who are already permanent residents, to get citizenship improves our security? I'm at a loss to understand. The government hasn't explained it, and I don't think they'll be able to.
Whenever these issues come up, Labor almost always gives the government bipartisan support, and I've watched so many of these different bills come before the parliament. Labor always providing bipartisan support. Labor has departed from, that script this time. Is this something we should expect more from Bill Shorten's Labor, a departure on these issues?
On the contrary, when there is a genuine national security concern, we have a bipartisan position with the government, which is to keep Australians safe. And that's why we've cooperated with the government on now several national security-related bills, which we have improved, I might say, with amendments and through the Intelligence Committee process. But in this area, Mr. Dutton has already brought forward a ridiculous piece of legislation when he tried some months back to impose a lifetime ban on obtaining a visitor visa for anyone that had arrived in Australia by boat. You've only got to state it to see how stupid that would have been if it had become part of Australian law. It would have meant that someone that had arrived here by boat but had ended up living in the United States and become a Nobel Prize winner couldn't ever obtain a visa to visit Australia. And that was rightly rejected by Labor and rejected by the crossbenchers in the Senate, and happily it didn't become part of Australian law. We've now got another foolish piece of legislation that's been brought forward by Peter Dutton. not for any reason to keep Australians safer, not for any reason to improve Australia's community or our multicultural society, but to create a political controversy for his own political purposes.
Well, he rejects that, but he's not here. You are. Thank you so much for your time, Mark Dreyfus.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks, Patricia.
That's the Shadow Attorney General Mark Dreyfus joining us on RN Drive. Coming up, Britain's tone on Brexit has really shifted significantly. So what does that mean for the world's biggest divorce settlement that we have been waiting to see how it looks? Who gets what? Who gets the house? 0418 226 576 is our number. I've got a really good tweet on this issue. I taught at university. University level English is a pretty low bar. So there you go. Different perspectives coming in. I'd like more of your views to come through. 0418 226 576.